speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be talking about a subject matter that is close to my heart, and that is award-winning green roof designs. While I've been on the road traveling, I have noticed the expansion of cities, communities, more and more blacktop, more and more concrete, and less green. We take so much for granted when it comes to Mother Nature. Well, we are finding that our environment has to be taken care of, and my guest, Mr. Stephen Peck, is going to share with us some insights on a new level of bringing nature in a way that's going to be able to help the environment, help us have healthier environments to work in, to live in, and also to make this planet of ours a far more beautiful place, especially in the cities. Stephen Peck, welcome to my show.
Thanks, Donna.
Now, you're in Toronto, is that correct?
That's right.
Yes, and I was just so impressed with your book. I mean, the cover of this is just absolutely gorgeous. It shows high-rise buildings, and in the midst of all of this, there is this roof that has this pond, this beautiful, beautiful garden that just fills what would otherwise be just a dark, oppressive, uninteresting, concrete-ish type of area. And we all know how important green is. Let's talk a little bit about you. You are a man who is currently the founder and president of Green Roofs for Healthy Cities. And for 10 years, you have wanted and have been working earnestly towards developing the green roof industry. Now, having gardens on a rooftop is nothing new. This has been done for thousands of years, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've got examples stemming back over 5,000 years of the use of sod, and of course there's the famous Hanging Gardens of Babylon that we learned about as children. Within the last 30, 40 years, there have been a lot of technological developments, particularly stemming from Germany, that have allowed us to really expand our ability to grow plants of all kinds on rooftops.
And I have in front of me phenomenal pictures of the evolution that has been happening over the last 10 years that you've been involved with this. This has been quite a challenge because for a lot of people, it's thinking outside of the box. And yet, just in the last 15 years, we have become aware how important it is to have lots of trees, lots of plants, yet with the growth of population, you have 7 billion people on the planet, trees are being chopped down right and left to make way for houses. This is something that can help us energy-wise, it can help us health-wise. Talk about your first project that you did in 1983, Robson Square, because you had to prove that this was something viable economically and ecologically. So tell us about this first project.
Yeah, that was a project that was conceived of by a very famous architect named Arthur Erickson and a pretty famous landscape architect named Cornelia Oberlander. And essentially, it's an entire city block in downtown Vancouver, the courthouse project, in which they a lot of the actual building space is below grade, so below the sidewalk level. And they essentially took the roof of that structure and they created, Cornelia designed a whole range of different areas that are really quite beautiful and provide a whole bunch of benefits to the city, including habitat for birds, beautiful quiet areas for people in the city to relax, the ability to manage stormwater more effectively. And so that type of large-scale green roof had never really been done to that extent before. And that was a wonderful collaboration between Cornelia Oberlander and Arthur Erickson, and they have written a foreword in the book, the award-winning Green Design book, about that project and the need for building experts to collaborate and work together effectively to really bring this the opportunity of greening into the built form. If you think about cities, one of the things, if you go up in a plane and you look at cities, you'll see there's a lot of dead space in
mm-hmm.
cities, parking lots, roads, and rooftops. And with the, as you say, the growing population in cities around the world, we really need to start using those spaces more effectively. And one of the ways of doing that is to use green roof technology to bring about a change in the way we design buildings, to make them more restorative in their nature, to make them more healing, to provide opportunities for energy efficiency and food production and habitat for birds and butterflies and recreational spaces. So we have all this. It's actually been called the fifth frontier in a city's, or the fifth facade as well of a building, is the roof. And so our members of our organization, Green Roofs for Healthy Cities, are working to implement these amazing green roof projects all over North America and the world, for that matter.
Well, one of the areas of the country in the U.S., and I'll pick on Arizona, any of your desert areas, I have been told by people, and this has been going on for years, that as building has expanded, there's more and more blacktop, you know, whatever materials they use for freeways. And, of course, that absorbs a lot of heat. In fact, it'll get so hot in Arizona, it'll be like 115 to 120 degrees. You go to step on the blacktop, and the material just sinks underneath your feet. If you're wearing high heels, you can get stuck. You'll actually make holes. It's so
mm-hmm.
hot.
Mm-hmm.
And with the expansion of the cities, with all of the concrete buildings, with all of the streets, the level of heat has intensified, and that's hard to believe, but they said it has become more and more of a problem. So if you had gardens, that is going to create a wonderful environment weather-wise. I mean, that is going to create a coolness that would not otherwise be there, and there are plants in different areas of the country that will suit the appropriate climate there. And anybody, if you are out and it's like 100 degrees outside, which here on the East Coast it gets to be during the summer,
mm-hmm.
and then some, and you have high levels of humidity, you stay out in the sun for a while, you think you're going to pass out. All you need is a great, big, gorgeous, rich, lush tree, and you step under that, and you've got about a 20-degree difference. They really make a difference, and people have, they just don't seem to pay attention to that. So with this, with the green roofs, now, you said in 1997 there was a man named Dr. Brad Bass, who was a scientist with the Environment Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how he affected you and when it was you decided you were going to stop trying to work with bureaucrats and start something on your own.
Yeah, you've heard the story, and many people have heard the story about how their sort of pathways in life, you know, turned on a dime. And it just so happened that I sat down for lunch beside this gentleman named Dr. Brad Bass, who was a scientist at Environment Canada, which is the equivalent of the EPA in Canada. And he said to me, "Have you ever heard about a green roof?" And I had never heard of this particular technology before. And we got talking, and one thing led to another, and we ended up collaborating with another person, Monica Kuhn, to write a report, Greenbacks from Green Roofs. And that report, we looked at the quantifiable benefits of a green roof, and most of that information was in German, and Monica spoke German, so she translated it. And then we looked at the barriers to developing the industry in North America, and barriers like the cost barrier was a big one, lack of technical data on the performance of green roofs, both at the building scale, but also, as you point out, at the larger, you know, urban heat island or citywide scale.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, you know, lack of professionals that in the marketplace that knew what a green roof was and how to properly design and implement them. So we, after this report, I approached a number of companies that had been involved in the development of the report and said, "Hey, why don't we get some resources together? We'll set up a coalition and we'll see if we can actually, you know, start to work on some of these challenges that we face." And six of them said yes, and that's how we sort of got Green Roofs for Healthy Cities going. And there was so much interest in what we were doing, we quickly moved on to establishing a 501c6 nonprofit industry association, and now we've got over 5,000 members, and we're doing, you know, all kinds of work all over North America to develop the industry. So it just took off.
Yes. Now let's talk about some of the companies and some. Let's just look at some of the various businesses that have done this. I was fascinated with the fact that Ford Rouge and Dearborn, mm-hmm. a truck plant, mm-hmm. took this on. Tell us why they were open to this. What were the circumstances with Ford Motor Company where they said, this is going to serve us well?
Well, I mean, you have to hand it to Bill Ford and his vision in with the whole redevelopment of the Dearborn, Michigan site. It was the site of the original Henry Ford. Henry Ford had this concept of doing integrated manufacturing on one site. So on that site, he had a steel mill and a glass plant, and he was basically fabricating all of the materials for the car and assembling them all in one location. And as a result of doing that, obviously for decades and decades and decades, there was a lot of contamination and so forth that took place. And instead of walking away from the site, Ford decided to reinvest. And when they built the new truck assembly plant, they decided they had to manage the stormwater. So one of they wanted to manage the stormwater effectively. So they decided to put an extensive green roof up on top of the plant. I think it's 10.5 acres in size.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean you can't even see from one end of it to the other. And it manages saves them a lot of money in terms of stormwater management. It cools the plant by reducing the amount of heat gain in the summer. It provides habitat for birds and insects, and it's beautiful to look at. And they've actually built a tower, an observation tower, so you can go up and take a look at this amazing meadow on virtually on top of. It's not actually technically a meadow, but it's a sedum-based meadow on top of this large industrial structure.
It is absolutely incredible, and one of the things that you mention is that the Environmental Protection Agency had said, you've got to build a water treatment facility. So like you said, they saved tens of millions of dollars by doing this,
mm-hmm.
and it is just, it's absolutely gorgeous. Now, you talk about a plant, Sedum. Sedum.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what that is and why that is so effectively used in the green roofs.
Well, there's a couple of types of green roofs that that help to explain the why sedums are used. One type of green roof is called an extensive green roof. And one way of remembering this is think about a large area like the Ford plant. And it's a very lightweight system. And that's the system that evolved out of a lot of research that's been done in Germany. And it's meant to be low cost, low maintenance, very effective for covering large areas because of its low cost and low maintenance. And so we put something called a growing medium on there, or engineered growing medium or soils, with a lot of a mixture of aggregate, lightweight aggregate, volcanic stone or expanded shale and clay, or some examples, coarse sands. And organic matter, and it's very lightweight, so it's not your typical sort of potting soil. And then with an extensive system, you have to have plants that are very tough, because the rooftop environment, Donna, is a harsh environment.
Yes,
there's a lot of sun.
Think of the heat. Yeah.
There's a lot of sun exposure normally. There's not a lot of depth, because the depth, obviously, because the structural loading capacity of the building has to support the green roof. So for a lot of buildings like the Ford plant, you don't want a lot of weight, so you have a very lightweight system, which means a lot of plants cannot survive in that environment. So we pick the sedum because there's a variety of sedums that are used, and we use sedums because they're very drought tolerant. They have roots that spread horizontally instead of going down. They're very they have lots of different showy colors, so they're very beautiful. They've evolved over, you know, millions of years to be very tough plants. And also a lot of native grasses, certain types of native grasses can be used on those types of extensive roofs. At the other end of the spectrum, we have intensive green roofs, which are also featured in the award-winning Green Roof Design book. And those are more almost always used for human use and enjoyment. And you can actually put trees and shrubs, because you use a lot more greater depth of growing medium, much more structural support, and the roofs are purposefully designed to be more garden-like and used for human access and enjoyment or gardening. And that's at sort of the other end of the spectrum, higher capital cost, higher maintenance, higher structural loading capacity. So you have kind of a spectrum of green roof projects that you see in that book, those award-winning projects over the years. Sedums predominating the extensive green roofs, and then a whole variety of plants used on the intensive green roofs.
And as you said, there's different levels to this. So one would have to have someone that really would be able to look at the roof. Now, people that have residences, and these photographs are absolutely gorgeous. There's horizontal as well as vertical green roofs. I'm looking at Silver Spring, Maryland, the Eastern Village co-housing condominiums. And they actually have made it so that they have put in what I would call a mesh kind of a, well, what is it? It's like sections between apartment units. Mm-hmm. That are on the exterior of the building, and there is all of this beautiful lush green growth that is going from the top of the building down to the bottom, and it's absolutely marvelous because that would help to cool the building. And I really was fascinated with the fact that a lot of this started in Germany. You also talk about the Swiss implementing this. Now, here you've got weather conditions in Germany and in Switzerland that can get brutally, brutally cold.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of plants would be used there?
Well, you know, you have the sedums are very good at drought dealing with cold as well, and it's always useful when you get to extremes of temperature to look at the plants that survive in drought-like conditions with very little growing medium or material to grow in as a base to look for plants to use in whatever particular climate or region that you're working in. That
mm-hmm.
particular picture you're looking at there, that project, one of the things that's really cool about it is the use of green walls. And we started out with green roofs, and in our initial study back in 1998, we looked at green walls, and there was just no information hardly at all available, very early stage. But now we have a number of companies that have developed green wall systems. And we have started to conduct research on the performance benefits of green walls. And the cool thing about green walls is that they're much more visible, so you don't have to have a platform or accessibility to see the beauty that they represent. And, of course, you have a lot more area in cities for greening with walls than you do with rooftops. So green walls open up this whole new dimension of opportunity for designers and building owners to really use these technologies to improve not only the performance of the building in terms of energy and membrane waterproofing life expectancy, which is extended, but also to, you know, give back to the community and create a beautiful space that actually makes people healthier psychologically and physically.
Oh,
so
that's
a whole
so
new
true.
Development.
That is so true. There's so many areas of the country here in North America that you can drive through, and it's just totally depressing because there's no green. You have absolutely no green. And, of course, in offices, we all know inside, when you have your living plants, it is so important because that keeps a healthy environment for you, especially in computer rooms where you have a lot of equipment running. And having green plants in those rooms is just so important for good health. And the, like you said, the visual, whenever we're going anywhere, I know when I've been in New York, people just go into the parks. Grand Central Park is packed because people live many times in these high-rise buildings, and there's nothing around them that's green. They go to the park to be refreshed. That's why green has always been considered such a healing color. Now, let's talk about something else, too, with the roofs. This is compatible with someone that wants to use solar energy, correct?
That's right.
Now, with someone is saying, gee, I was thinking of putting solar on this, this intrigues me. How do they find out about this? Where can they go to learn about what they might be able to do? Because even whether it's a home, whether it is a business, it is going to help water conservation. It's going to keep a building cooler. It's going to keep it warmer during the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
And where do they find out? I mean, how can they get this expertise so that they can plan for something like this?
The one thing about green roofs that's so amazing is that I've been working at it for 10 years, and we're still learning new benefits of this technology. And one of the benefits that's relatively new, it's more established in Germany, but relatively new here in North America, is that because when the sun hits the plants on a green roof and the growing medium, and what happens is through the process of evaporation of moisture from the growing medium and the transpiration of the plants as they photosynthesize, right, converting sunlight into oxygen and absorbing carbon dioxide, right, photosynthesis. As they do that, they actually cool the level of air above the roof. That's why when you go underneath, one of the reasons when you go into under a tree, or one of the reasons why you go into a forest or whatever, it feels cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason for that is that there's evapotranspiration taking place. So with solar panels on a rooftop, one of the things about solar PV technology is if they get really hot, and as you pointed out, roofs are very hot places, what happens is their efficiency in generating electricity starts to drop.
Okay.
So if you actually put one, and there are technologies available from some of our manufacturers that integrate solar PV panels and an extensive green roof. So the green roof actually helps the solar panels be more energy efficient in their production of power. And the amount, it can vary anywhere from 5 to 25%, which is a lot when you're talking about efficiency gain during those really hot summer months through that process of evapotranspiration. And so there's a really nice synergy between solar panels and green roofs that is just, we're really just starting to take advantage of and explore. Our website has lots
exciting.
Of information if people want to look to our corporate members for examples of those applications, greenroofs.org, www.greenroofs.org.
Well, that is really exciting. Now, let me ask you this question. Let's say someone, and in fact, I'd be interested in exploring it. If you were going to put it on a roof, an angled roof, a home, and you wanted to put solar on, and you wanted to put that on. I mean, a new roof on a home, a standard home, let's say 3,000 to 4,000 square feet, that's about $20,000. What if you had to replace the whole roof? What is it that it would cost to have something like that put on a residence?
Well, solar PV has a payback period that ranges. I can't, you know, it really depends on how many programs there are.
Mm-hmm.
In you know, whatever state that you're in or province, because there are various programs that you can tap into. But generally speaking, I think it's somewhere between 20 to 30 years. So the payback on a solar system in terms of the value of the energy, it does take a while to pay back. But with a green roof, the same thing on residence tends to be true. There's a payback, but it will vary depending on the project. So it's very project-specific, the calculation of the economic benefits of a green roof, because a lot of them can be, for example, when you factor in human use and enjoyment, you have to ask yourself, well, you know, if a square foot of land in Manhattan is worth $100, you know, what's a square foot of roof park worth?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it worth $100? Is it worth $50? So we're actually seeing a lot of green roofs being developed with condominiums, and we're seeing a lot of green roofs on multi-unit residential properties because there's an added value of accessibility and use that they build right into the overall equation for the project. And that added value is something that's a saleable proposition in terms of, you know, the marketing of the development. So that's really a market that's starting to work very well. With an individual homeowner, you know, you'd have to, if it's a retrofit, in other words, an old building or a new building, you really have to, you'd have to sort of do some calculations. And we have something called the Green Save Calculator on our website. It's used by professionals to make a whole series of calculations to figure out how does a green roof actually pay back over the life cycle of the building, of the project.
Well, it is something that definitely should be explored, and anyone that is wanting to get involved in their community, there may be buildings that could provide even food sources for people having gardens, but you need to know how to do this so that it's going to be effective. Also, the conservation of water, being able to have runoff, you know, whether you're in the Pacific Northwest, whether you're on the East Coast, whether you're in the Midwest, southwestern area of the United States, it doesn't make any difference. Water is a precious commodity, and there are ways of being able to utilize the green roof, conserve water, have that runoff water available for conservation and for reapplication. And I just think it's absolutely marvelous. So if our listeners are interested, they could go to, again, greenroofs.org. But I think especially the well-being psychologically and physically for all of us is just so important. And that's part of what this technology is doing. And it's such a delight to find that it can be integrated with other technologies that will be conserving energy as well.
Yes, and, you know, in terms of water, you know, we're very, very keen to see, again, the green roofs being designed as part of a holistic approach to green buildings and water conservation and green energy. All those things are elements that a green roof can contribute to. The Nashville Public Square, which is in the award-winning Green Roof Designs book that's published by Schiffer Publishing, that we recently published, that is a beautiful project where they actually capture all the water, and they actually store it in a cistern underneath the underground parking garage. They treat it, they filter it, and then they bring it back up so that they save, you know, tens of thousands of dollars by not having to use potable water to irrigate the green roof, and they manage the stormwater runoff, which is a big issue in a lot of cities with flooding and what's called combined sewer overflows, where the stormwater from the rain or the snow melt combines with sewage and it flows into water, natural water bodies like Chesapeake Bay and so forth. So
that's so important.
Yeah, and we've done studies. There have been studies that have been done on the big picture benefits. If we can get public policy support for green roofs to help people implement green roofs, so that first higher cost becomes a little bit lower. What can happen over time is we can actually cool the whole city off. We can manage the stormwater more effectively, reducing the cost of managing stormwater. We can create extra green space, park space like Central Park on individual buildings. We can generate food. We can improve habitat for birds and butterflies. We can improve the mental and physical well-being of people. Like, it's really exciting when you start thinking about green roofs and walls and investing in that as green infrastructure. Green roofs, walls, urban forests are all components of green infrastructure. And these things, Donna, they deliver. They deliver multiple public benefits. And there are tangible, quantifiable benefits that these technologies can provide.
And it introduces a whole new area of industry for people, especially who love being able to be out of doors and love to be able to see green and to be knowledgeable about plants. It creates a whole industry that could provide jobs that would just be wonderful for a lot of people. I just think it's absolutely fabulous. I want to mention again, the website is greenroofs.org. There's all kinds of information available to you if you're interested in exploring this. This beautiful, beautiful book is the award-winning Green Roofs Designs by Schiffer, and Stephen Peck has been my guest. Stephen, congratulations on all your efforts. I think they're 10 years plus well spent, and I'm so delighted you were able to be my guest today.
Thank you very much, Donna. I appreciate it.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break in just a moment. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Don't forget, www.greenroofs.org. We're coming right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast, with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyND.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers to call in to 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I'll give you my intuitive perspective. And, of course, after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. We all can make such a difference in this world, and it's so important. You can start right where you are, your home, whatever your living environment is, by thinking green, but also by doing green. Now, the Pacific Northwest is my home. I'm on the East Coast right now on this business trip, but I'll tell you what, as I said during the interview, so many sections of country are being clear-cut. We are losing hundreds of thousands of trees, and these are trees that's maybe taken 100, 150 years to grow. They add, they do so much for us, but when we have to have housing, those trees are cut down. Rarely is there a plan that is really effective at adding more trees back in. So we have all of this additional concrete, all of this additional road surface, and it produces a heat that is phenomenal. So if you want to do something in your home area, wherever it is, bringing plants into your home as well as putting them around your home, go to a local nursery. Talk to them about what kind of plants work best in your own particular environment. If you're not an avid gardener, there are many options that would create a beautiful garden for you. You don't necessarily have to put it up on your roof. That doesn't mean that you have to do that, as we discussed earlier. But anything you do, every tree you plant, every rose bush, every single item that you put out in a garden makes a difference, and it gives habitat to creatures that otherwise don't have any. I think one of the most heart-moving experiences I ever had was a forest. I'm going to tell you this story after I take this caller. Believe me, it makes a difference what you do. Hello, welcome. This is Donna Sebo, first name or initial. And where are you calling from?
Yes. Hi, Donna. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulously. Who am I speaking with?
This is Sandy in Auburn, Washington.
Hi, Sandy.
Hello.
Is it nice and warm back there in Washington?
It's beautiful today.
Well, that's great.
It's a little cloudy, but maybe we can see Mount Rainier.
Oh, my goodness. If you can see the top of Mount Rainier, it's not going to rain today, but it may tomorrow. That's one thing about
probably
the Northwest.
Probably will.
They say, if it's not raining, it definitely will. That's a true statement.
That's for sure.
That's it. Okay, Sandy, let's get down to business with you, hon. First of all, I want you to be very, very attentive to your driving because I am looking at a fatigue. You're going to be putting in long hours, and I want to say, I don't care if you're just going 50 miles by car. If you're really tired, pull off the side of the road. If you have to go into a ladies' room and refresh with some cool water on your face, whatever it takes, your eyes are just absolutely fatigued. So you must remember, pay attention. If you are going to be on the road a lot or if you're under a lot of stress for whatever reason, take your time. Plan accordingly because I am looking at you really pushing what I call the time button. It's like there's a little bell or something that's going, a little alarm that's going off. Every so often you go, oh my goodness, I've got this to do. Oh my goodness, I've got this to do. And you're really on a very time-oriented program. I'd like to see you lighten up a bit, yet I know that you have to do this for a period of time. This is not something that is permanent, that's going to go on for the next 20 years. But you are a person that sometimes packs in more to your scheduling than what you should. And you need to be able to step back, take a deep breath before you make a commitment to someone or something, and say to yourself, is this really absolutely necessary? I've got all of these other items on my platter of work to do. Do I really need to add this in? If the answer is no, don't take it on. Graciously retreat. Nobody's going to hate you for it. Just understand you've got to do this for yourself because you are, my goodness, your fall and winter time is going to be perking. So you need to be wise here, and you need to be sure you get your rest. Because you are just not giving yourself enough space for relaxation. I don't think, anyway. What's on your mind, Sandy?
Well, I've been looking for a job, and I was wondering if you see that happening anytime soon.
Well, where are you? What kind of work are you looking for?
Right now, it just seems really slow here in Auburn. I was from Oregon, and there was tons of jobs there. And so I'm just, at this point, I'll take anything. I just want to get
No, 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 no. I want you to be specific. What would you like to do?
I would like to I like to work with members, so I'd like to do something working with members.
I was into doing
deposits for a store, which I just love because I just love working and balancing.
All right. Do you have any kind of a degree in accounting at all?
No.
All right, let me make a suggestion to you. First, I would check with every bank that's around. I would check with every accounting firm that is around. You will have a job within a relatively short period of time, but you need to be able to travel there. You may not find it in Auburn. You might find it in Federal Way or even up towards Seattle. But I want you to put yourself out there and don't complain about commuting time. You want to be involved.
Yeah, we're all complaining about gas. we all probably know that.
Well, I know that, but that's looking at it from the wrong end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
What you want to do is to be able to generate an income, and then I want you to do something else.
Okay.
Since you have such a love for numbers, I want you to find out through the local junior college or whatever business schools are around there, find out what it would take for you to be able to sign up for an accredited course. Because you will find that if you will go back to school and you will get an accreditation for accounting or whatever venue you are interested in relative to numbers, you will have a very easy time increasing your capacity for income. And that would be in less than 2 years. So don't whine about the gas prices. You're looking at it from the wrong positioning. If nothing else, you can bag your lunch or whatever you have to do. Also, be willing to work as a night clerk. There are some hotels. I'm looking at some positionings that might be night positionings for you. It's just temporary. You need to be able to prove who you are. A bank is a very good place to start. But I would also, when I'm going through the interviewing process, I would be very well dressed. I would say this is my passion. I'm wanting to go to school. I want to be able to get a degree in XYZ. Put it out there. Stop looking at penny-wise and pound-foolish thinking.
Okay.
So don't whine. There's plenty of work for someone like you that loves to work with numbers. You're in a minority. You're not in a majority.
Well, I was in banking, but they were so high on selling, and since I didn't believe in selling credit, I just don't like doing something that's against my grain. And though I love banking, I did not love the selling, and every time I met their requirements, they wanted more and more, and I never felt like it was I could satisfy them, and I wasn't satisfied.
Well, there's different positions in banking, hon. Look at some of the smaller banks. Look at some of the local banks and talk with them. Go in and interview the banks. I remember one woman, she became a manager of a local bank. She went and interviewed every bank in town because she didn't like the application of most of the bigger ones. She ended up with a smaller bank. She's been with them for 15 years. She loves it. She knows all of her clients. She knows the people that come in. They've become friends and family to her. So you can have what you want. Stop looking at what you don't want. Look at what you do want. You can go and you can interview. People like you are in the minority. Start working with your assets. Stop being down. Stop, again, with a penny-wise and pound-foolish mentality.
Okay, well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You'll have to call me back and tell me about the wonderful job you get. You can have work. You can have, Sandy, you can have work in 2 to 3 weeks. But you're going to have to get a move on and stop complaining about the gas prices. Look at what you've got and be grateful for what you have and the fact that you have transportation to get you from one point to another. And just know you're going to make the money that's going to make that a moot issue for you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Donna.
You're welcome, Sandy. Thanks for your call, hon.
You bet. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Hey, if you want to call in and chat with me, you can do the same thing. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. I was going to tell you about a particular experience that I had in the area where I live, and it was regarding trees. So when we come back, I'll let you know what that experience was. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Now, by the way, I know we've got a caller, but before we go to the caller, I want to tell you this story because it really tells a lot about our impact on nature. In the home that we've lived in for a number of years, there used to be a forest across the street. Well, there was an acre of land that was purchased, and about 21 homes were scheduled to go into this area. On the day that they came in and they were cutting down all of the trees, that afternoon there was a din of noise, the like of which I never want to hear again. It was a sound that was so loud, I opened up my front double door and I looked outside, and the place was just denuded of trees. All of that forest area was gone, and it was all birds. These birds were crying because their homes had been destroyed. If ever you have an experience like that, you will never forget it. And that's something we need to remember about nature. We share this planet with a lot of other creatures. So whenever we take something away, we should remember we have to put something there to grow and to flourish so that we will have a harmony with the environment around us. That's my special story. Believe me, it affected me very, very deeply. Let's go to our caller who's been waiting so patiently on the line. Hello and welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Scott. I'm calling from Daytona Beach, Florida.
Daytona Beach, Florida. Oh, I know you guys are perking down there. It's time of year. Oh, boy. Okay, Scott, let's get down to business. The first thing that I'm looking at with you is detail, detail, detail.
Yeah.
You're a person that really likes to work with detail. I mean, you are someone, you want to look at the super big picture, and then you want to come down to all the little tiny things that it's going to take to make that real big picture work. And you get frustrated with people because you either find someone that's really interested in the detail, but they can't see the big picture, or you have someone that sees the big picture and they don't know what it takes to get there because they're not working with the detail to go through the process. So you're a little frustrated right now, and I want to say don't be.
Okay.
What it is you're going to have to learn to do is to think differently. You need to recognize the differences in people's capabilities and learn how to utilize their strengths effectively so that they will be compatible with what you want to do. And if you do that, then you can form a team that will empower you to have that personal level of accomplishment on an entrepreneurial level. You will find that you won't get so frustrated because you're not trying to make them into what they're not.
Yeah.
And you will find that you have the support you need because you will be in that leadership positioning. You'll have the vision, and the other people will say, gee, I get to be a part of that vision. Now, one thing you do have to get past, Scott, and that is the fear of having things taken away from you. Mm-hmm. And this goes way back. Mm-hmm. You are afraid of being cheated. You're afraid of this, that, or the other. You need to have a good team of people around you that you can trust, and that you need to have enough faith and enough education and understanding to realize risk is in everything you do. But you can have a calculated risk, and you can be wise and patient in how you bring things together. But technology is your buddy. You learn how to work with the technology. You get the right kind of people. Focus on your strengths and those areas you're weak in. Get those individuals that are really strong in those areas you're weak in and learn how to work with them in a harmonic way. You'll be smiling every day when you go to the bank. You're so concerned. You're looking for things in the wrong places. You're trying to do it all. Don't do that, Scott. It's not going to work. You'll just get so frustrated, and then you get angry with everybody that you come in contact with. Don't do that. Don't do that at all. You've got a lot going for you. The business idea is a good one, but you need to be able to understand the process. And I'd say, you know, do some brainstorming with some people who are experienced, who are retired,
yes,
that will have the expertise. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid that someone's going to steal your idea.
Yeah.
What question do you have for me, Scott?
Well, I was looking at something in terms of changing fields. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Florida. I've been a therapist for 16 years, and
mm-hmm.
I have a lot of abilities that are starting to come to the fore now. I just did a reading for a friend with cards, and I'm starting to see things in the cards as opposed to interpreting the cards, which is the way I first started, working with tarot
sure.
cards and so on
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So, you know, that's sort of coming my way. I've also thought of, in terms of going into the hospitality business in some way, in that, you know, here I am in Florida, a lot of people, you know, can retreat here to have a more therapeutic type of retreat where there might be Ayurvedic involved or there might be some kind of healing or, you know, something that goes beyond the usual expectations, and where people are wanting to come to heal and not to eat donuts, but, you know, to come to do something that's good for them, and that sort
all
of
right.
thing, and to have some that's been kind of like on the back burner for some time, as well as to probably move into perhaps doing, you know, more readings too. Right now I work 50 hours a week, and I don't have that time a lot of most of the time. I'm sleeping a lot on Saturdays and Sundays just to regroup.
Okay, Scott, I'm going to have to interrupt you because I'm almost out of time here, so let me
okay.
respond to you quickly. You've got some good concepts here. I want you to have an idea notebook,
okay.
and I want you to put all these ideas into your notebook.
Okay.
Nothing is stupid. Nothing is ridiculous. Let it come together in its own way,
okay.
and when it comes to your intuitive ability, just keep practicing. Have fun with this. Don't make this a big deal.
Okay.
And allow the fact that you have the right and privilege of cutting back on your hours if you want to. You can do that. So maybe you cut back. Maybe instead of working 5 days a week, you work 12-hour days, 4 days a week,
yeah.
so that you have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can be creative. I'm sorry, Scott. I've got to go because I'm out of time.
Thank you. So.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I'm so glad you called in today. You have a fabulous weekend.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, time has just whizzed by, and there's so many things I wanted to share with you. Well, on Monday, it's going to be the best of Donna, and I'll be back with you live on Tuesday. I'm flying back home on Monday, so we have to do that because, again, I haven't figured out how to do the show from the air. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is a gift. open up its package and just enjoy. Have a fabulous weekend. Talk to you next week. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.